Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So you ready for the draft? Let's get started.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Chicago Bears select.
Live from the NFL Draft in Detroit, it's the Rich Eisen Show.
The 2024 NFL Draft is now underway.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky. Coming up, Fox Sports college football analyst and NFL Network draft analyst Joel Klatt. Detroit Lions defensive end Aiden Hutchinson. Michigan head coach Sherrone Moore. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air, and we're back here in the Rich Eisen Show Draft Week Special, live from Detroit at the Total by Verizon Studio. Dan Orlovsky just left us, so did Ian Rappaport, and here to kick off hour number two is one of my friends from NFL Network's draft coverage, sitting directly to my left last night and also for tonight's coverage that begins at 7 Eastern time for night two and rounds two and three, and a man who is all about Big Noon on Fox, Joel Klatt. Good to see you, sir. How are you, brother?
It's good to see you. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Absolutely.
I'll tell you, the 8 p.m. kick last night was a shock to my system. I'm normally up, and it's noon, and let's go.
Big eight. It's not called Big 8.
That's right.
Fox.
That's exactly right.
That's not what it's called. It's called Big Noon. And that was a heck of an atmosphere, too.
Oh, my
goodness. I know you and I, we both showed up at the set at the same time, obviously, with the same car over here, and then we just walked out there, and we saw the mass of humanity that was behind our set. And it was like, whoa, okay.
I just kept thinking to myself, like, what a year for this town in terms of football. And you think of the years and years of disappointment that Michigan fans have had, that the Lions fans have had, and now the Lions go to the NFC Championship game. Michigan wins the national championship. And then last night was almost a culmination of that. It was like a celebration of football and fandom, and it was really special.
Yeah, it was a party when the Lions traded up to go on
yes.
the clock.
And you said it perfectly. You said, like, everyone just, like, ran. Yeah. It was just a sea of people running towards the stage.
We were in the back end of the mass of humanity, and the fans would be, you know, belly up to right up to our set and just waving and what have you. And I turn around in the commercial break, and they all just start running for the stage.
As soon as the graphic went to, like, the Lions.
The Lions here are on the clock. And then I'm like,
that's
what I said on the air. It's something we said. No, they just ran into the draft hall.
So we were
just all psyched to watch it.
We were in the casino last night, and there was about 500 people. When the Lions went on the clock, the whole building just started chanting, "Let's go, Lions." It was incredible.
Oh, so good.
Where were you last night?
Yeah, the MGM Casino.
Okay, very good. I had no idea.
Interesting.
Look at what's going on when, they're not on the clock.
You didn't even know.
Oh, my gosh.
My goodness.
So I know what your reaction was because you had it directly to my left on the air. Your next day thoughts on Michael Penix Jr. going to Atlanta 8th overall is what?
I think that we are, some are conflating two truths, which is, you draft the player that you most want, and the fact that, like, well, Penix wasn't a top 10, you know, talent. I guess that's not too true, but they're conflating two things. You can say that Michael Penix deserved to be in the top 10 and also say, why in the world did Atlanta make that selection? I don't understand it, in particular because of the contract for Kirk Cousins. If you're going to give Kirk Cousins $100 million, You've got to go completely on board with winning a championship in that window that you opened up with Kirk Cousins. You don't do that by thinking about 2028. I understand the succession plan, and we've seen the succession plan work at different organizations, namely Green Bay. But this is not a quarterback that needed time to develop. In a lot of ways, outside of Caleb maybe, but even maybe with Caleb in the equation, Michael Penix was the most pro-ready guy in the draft from the quarterback position, just because of what he does from the pocket, what he was asked to do at Washington under Kalen DeBoer, the amount of times per game that he would sit in the pocket and have to read things out down the field, make post-snap decisions, throw the ball with leverage and accuracy and pace down the field. Like, he did all of those things. He's ready to play. Go sit behind Kirk Cousins? If I was Michael Penix, I would be more furious than even Kirk Cousins. I waited all that time. I had all those injuries. I got myself to Washington, had these two amazing years. I'm an older guy. What's more valuable in the NFL, being drafted in the top 10 or getting a second contract? Getting a second contract. How does Michael Penix get on the field to prove himself ready for a second contract? Now, when's a second contract going to be? I just don't understand. And you also just don't win a championship when you have a mountain of dead cap space. So I don't understand it. I think that if I was Michael Penix, I don't know how quickly I would sign. I don't know how much he can force his issue, but what? I want to play. What do you mean you like? Great, good. I'm glad. I'm so thankful. I'm in the top 10 now. What in the world?
Because I thought immediately when this happened, and this being Kirk Cousins signing, that freed up Atlanta to not need to have a quarterback eighth overall going into the Super Bowl, knowing Atlanta's new situation. Eighth overall, they're definitely moving on from Desmond Ridder. They have a new head coach in who can absolutely be married at the hip with somebody that they draft eighth overall. And at the time, the tea leaves were so being misread, fully guilty as charged, I thought they might flip the eighth overall pick to Chicago for Justin Fields.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Certainly since we found out you could get Justin Fields for a sixth rounder next year. I'm just saying that when they signed Cousins, that allowed Atlanta the freedom to choose anything but an eighth overall.
Well, to get better. That's the point. It freed them up to get better. There are limited resources. When you've got a cap and 53 spots, you don't have the luxury of, you know, college football and recruiting a kid and with 85 scholarships and saying he'll be our quarterback in 3 years. Like, that doesn't help.
So are you saying Penix should enter the transfer portal? To use that analogy.
I kept thinking about that this morning, and I just kept thinking to myself, like, what leverage does he have? Well, I mean, he doesn't have to sign right away. I mean, would you be happy if you were Michael Penix?
I would sit here and go, boy, am I blessed to be in the NFL based on his whole journey, right? And I'm not saying you're not saying that he wouldn't be thinking that. I would then sit there and go, I have no control over it, so I'm going to make the best of it. And he's already said, I'm going to learn from Kirk and what have you. But, yeah, I would think I've not only proven my ability to be drafted eighth overall, but to play right now. And that's just not – this is not going to happen. But I don't know how he would, even by not signing, affect anything.
I don't know. I just kept thinking to myself, like, what leverage does this guy have?
Nothing.
He can't be
Nor
very
Kirk.
Happy about it.
Kirk's
Nor does Kirk. That's
Kirk,
right.
Kirk's
that's
only
exactly
leverage
right.
is to go out there and
by the way,
crush
if,
it, and like Rodgers did in winning back-to-back MVPs when Jordan Love got drafted.
My issue is that they did not have a plan. Organizations that win Super Bowls have a plan in place. Who are we? Where are we going? How are we going to get there? So you have one plan in free agency, and then you turn around and you directly combat that because you what? Like, it was love at first sight when we saw him throw in the wind. Good for you. You're married. You don't go to the club, and you're not single. Like, I don't know what to tell you. It's just not a cohesive plan. Right? Like once you're married, it's like you don't like show up at the casino. Sorry, but you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, the craps table was hot.
No, it wasn't. I don't know.
So it's like,
about.
Well, he was the number two guy on our board. Like, good for you, but who cares? Don't understand it.
Joe Klatt here on the Rich Eisen Show. Well, speaking of not understand, by the way, we'd love
to
have you under.
I hope he succeeds, by the way.
No, and
I hope
you
Kirk
have to
succeeds.
Say that, by the way.
I'm hoping all of this works out for the best. I just don't understand how it will.
And you have to say that because so many people do misconstrue in our world criticism for or questioning of a strategy as if you're now rooting against them because
not
you want to be right.
Not at
you're
all.
You're just being honest.
I hope I am dead wrong. I really do. This is one of those, like, I love Michael Penix. I covered him back at Indiana, like, saw his whole career maturation. I'm a big fan of Kirk Cousins as well. I want to see these guys right. succeed.
Yes.
And hopefully it does. Hopefully it does.
Joe Klatt here on the Rich Eisen Show. We love having you on our show Fridays after the draft in the Draft City because the last time this did, in fact, happen was in Nashville the day after the Giants drafted Daniel Jones.
This is what my wife says, is I'm too critical. But I still don't go to the club. You know what I mean?
You most certainly do not, sir. Now here we are the day after the Giants had an opportunity to draft a rookie quarterback, sixth overall, and J.J. McCarthy turned it down. For Malik Nabers, do you agree with that Giants choice last night?
I don't believe that the Giants have been – I'm trying to play this as well as I can.
Go
you
ahead.
Always lead me to the places that – I don't believe that the Giants have, in our tenure covering the draft,
yes.
I've covered it for about 10 years, they've been easily a bottom half draft team. Easily. They're similar to kind of what I was just talking about with Atlanta. They're not cohesive. Doesn't feel like there's a great plan. It feels kind of ready, fire, aim a lot of the times. I said after that draft, I think that the Giants set themselves back, and I believe that they set themselves back again in this draft. I don't believe that they have the answers at the most important position in football to move forward to compete not only for their division, but in a conference that is only getting better. I mean, you look at that conference, the NFC is ridiculously difficult. Detroit got better last night. San Francisco is not going anywhere. You're going to have to deal with those teams. Chicago is going to be a real threat. And I just don't see how the New York Giants got themselves better to even win their division last night.
They could have been knocking on the Patriots' door, you know, or doing the old John Cusack say anything with the boombox standing outside, like, please, let's make a trade. And the Patriots are like, no, we're sticking and staying with Drake May. And the Giants couldn't do anything about that because they were too low down. I guess they didn't have McCarthy graded in the same way as maybe the Vikings did, or
which is fine.
That may be their sense of it.
That's fine. And by the way, that's better for JJ. One thing, you know, you just had Dan on, and he was talking about the location and fit for JJ, and I totally agree with everything he was talking about the great situation for a rookie quarterback that J.J. McCarthy is in. And in a lot of ways, if I was J.J. McCarthy, you don't want to say publicly, nor would he, that, oh, man, like I probably didn't want to go to the New York Giants. But if you look at the two situations and the situations for a young quarterback to succeed, mm-hmm. he went to the better place. Talked to him last week when I was in Ann Arbor, and he told me, he's like, man, I would do anything to make sure I go to Minnesota.
He said that.
100%. And even to the point where he thought, listen, if Minnesota wanted to deal up to Los Angeles to five, or like if that was going to play out where they felt like the Giants were really in play and Minnesota was going to have to move up, JJ was like, I'd be texting coach and be like, do it, do the deal.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then that's great that he got to the spot that he wants to go, because
yeah.
it does make complete sense. Again, I had my phone blowing up during the draft from Giants fans basically saying, should we have taken JJ? Thinking, I'm like, listen, I'm biased. I think the kid's a winner. I think him on a New York stage would have been electric. But they must have felt differently. And Malik Nabers is going to go there, I guess, for Drew Lock or Daniel Jones, who they have one more year of for sure.
So Atlanta double dipped and New York still doesn't have an answer.
So what I guess you would rather double dip than not having an answer, right?
Well, yes, if you put it that way, I would rather have two answers rather than none. So maybe New York is the one that we should all be scratching our heads out in the top 10.
Joe Klatt here on the Rich Eisen Show, getting ready for tonight's night two of the NFL draft. Who would you pound the table for if you were in draft room saying, we're not leaving the second round without this guy?
Oh, gosh.
Who would that be for tonight?
I think that the most impactful, there's going to be two players selected tonight, both defensive backs, that I think we're going to look up in a few years and think to ourselves, like, how did these guys, with their instincts, with their football IQ, their ability, their athletic ability, how did they fall into the second round? Mike Sainristil from Michigan, mm-hmm. Cooper DeJean from Iowa. Those two guys are going to make a huge impact on their next organization. And in particular, in this day and age, when you've got to be a hybrid player in the middle of the field and be able to cover in man and be able to defend the run and have ball instincts and all those, like those two guys, I think that those guys are going to have really good careers.
Okay. And then last night, who are you not talking about that we should, because I'm too fixated, or we're too fixated on the Penix to Atlanta?
Well, Chicago probably isn't getting their due with what they've done now and now what they've created around Caleb. But the other one that's just kind of like gone by the wayside is Jim Harbaugh placing his stamp, his blueprint on the Los Angeles Chargers. And I made this point in a couple of conversations and then on social media. Justin Herbert, didn't need a target for second and 11. He needs to be in second and 5. And that's the blueprint that Jim Harbaugh has. How does J.J. McCarthy become the best version of J.J. McCarthy? Be in the blueprint of Jim Harbaugh. How does Justin Herbert become the best version of Justin Herbert? Play in advantageous situations. That's what Jim Harbaugh does. His entire MO is about advantageous situations for his offense, making sure that everything complements one another so that you can go out there and win the football game. And that's why I think Herbert's going to have a lot of success. He might not throw for 4,500 yards and lead the league in yardage like he has over his first few years, but he's going to have a better chance to win. And so I think that's a pick that we've kind of glossed over.
I love that, by the way, because you have been talking about, Chris, for weeks, voicing what Charger fans might be saying, which is, who's going to be Justin Herbert's weapon?
Or if I'm Herbert, just like, what are we doing?
But I had not heard it said like that. He shouldn't be worried about who's my weapon for second and 11. He needs to be in second and 5.
That's great. It's a great point. Great explanation. Yeah. And I think that makes so much sense.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to sort of pause and
pretty smart there, Joel.
I had not heard that.
That
said, as well, let's gloss a little bit on the Bears. Rome Odunze.
Yes.
Caleb and Odunze took the same commercial flight to Detroit from Los Angeles. They were on the same private jet this morning going to Chicago, and everything else that's going on there is really exciting. And the Bears fans should be legit excited for real.
Yeah, that's right. I think so. Caleb's been the number one quarterback for this draft for two straight years. Like this, you know, like let's not. This is not just your normal number one pick. We've known for a long time that this is a guy, he's generational, as we all say, and you got another weapon for him, and they've got more pieces, or it's not just these two rookies that are going to try to go in there and succeed on a historically franchise that hasn't succeeded. Now you go in there with pieces, with a plan, and as soon as they draft those two guys and I start thinking about that passing game and what it could possibly be, I'm like, man, build the dome. Build the dome as quickly as possible on that lakefront. Let's go.
Right,
I want to see some offense.
Build it. And Kurt Warner heard that and he goes, I agree with that. Joel, thanks for coming on. I look forward to tonight, just like I loved being with you last night.
Tonight will be fun.
It's going to be fun. And, you know, and it's just even better that you're no longer the voice of my misery every November. And part of the reason why is because the man to your left right here helped change that. That's Aiden Hutchinson.
Oh, there he is. What's up, Hutch? How you doing, man?
It's been a while.
Yeah, I was going to say, it has been a while.
I know.
Congratulations on everything.
Thank you. You too, man.
It has been a while. I think you might have actually also been at the mic that day that Michigan at one point lost its last regular season game in Michigan State when one of the most remarkable sack force fumbles and touchdowns
Yeah, it was an atrocious call.
It still hurts my soul.
Robbed from that man. Clearly, it lingers in my mind as well. But you know what? All those wounds have been cauterized.
That's right.
It's true.
Thanks for coming on, Joel.
You bet.
Aiden Hutchinson is next, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. The man whose face is all over this town is about to be on the Roku channel screen next.
Hey,
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Aiden Hutchinson here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. It supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And look who has stopped by here on our program, courtesy of Rocket Mortgage Dream Mate campaign. We'll discuss that with one of the best that Detroit has seen put on a Lions uniform. And that's only just a couple years already in the league. Aiden Hutchinson, good to see you, sir. How are you?
It's good to be back, man.
Now, obviously you've played in front of big house crowds, but last night had to have been the biggest house you've ever been in, right?
Truly.
What was that like strolling out on stage with Eminem, your teammates, Calvin Johnson, Barry Sanders, and there's 250,000 people right in front of you? What the hell was that like?
It's so wild. I mean, we're standing there backstage, and it's, Jared, Saint, me, Calvin, Barry, Eminem, and Roger Goodell walk up. I'm like, what the hell am I doing right now? Like, where am I? And like, why am I here? And it was one of those moments where you just sit there and it's so crazy. It's so crazy. And then walking out the fans, it's like, they're so unreal. And I have a lot of pride when I see that we're breaking draft records with in attendance and even in our playoff run. Like, you see, just all the support this past year has been amazing.
Yeah, and just seeing all the Lions fans have more than hope now. It's not just hope anymore.
Yeah.
It's genuine belief. Mm-hmm. It's more than hope.
It's the real deal. I think last year was people didn't know if we were legit or not, and we made it to the NFC Championship and cut a little bit short. And but now I feel like the expectation this year is it's Super Bowl or nothing, and it's funny how we got to this point after a couple of years, just where I started at the Lions, and now we're here, and it feels good.
What was your exchange with Eminem? Anything significant? What do you have?
I didn't talk to him too much backstage, and then I got the chance to talk to him when we left, and I was getting ready to go home. Yeah. And someone comes up to me and goes, "Hey, man, Marshall wants to talk to you in the RV or something." And I was like, "Marshall." I was like, "Shit, that's Eminem."
You're like, "Marshall, who?"
Right.
You know, Marshall.
I know. And then it clicked, and I'm like, "Oh, I ran up that man," because I never got a chance to meet him. And so we were talking, and I never realized how much of a diehard fan he was. We were just talking ball for like 10 minutes. Him and his whole team were there. He was talking about the San Fran game, and like, it's always a tough game to look back on, but he's so invested, and it was so great being able to talk to him for the first time and finally be able to connect, because he's so global and so big. Being able to sit down and talk to him he's just a really genuine person, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't know he was a diehard fan. Wasn't he flipping off fans in San Francisco? Wasn't he doing that?
Yep. Like, I guess I didn't know the magnitude.
Okay,
I knew he was a big fan, but the way he was talking, he was like, "Man, if I could just put on the pads, man, and just, give it a rep." I'm like, "We could get you in on goal line or something. You sign a little 10-day.
You can get a couple of reps out of an Eminem." And the suit is a fantastic looking suit.
There's the Breathing God.
Yeah, the Breathing God
too.
T-shirt underneath.
Yeah, thank you.
Is that the first time you've worn that suit? Is that a first?
Yeah, it's a first. Okay. It's a first. Yeah, so it's a little gold houndstooth, and then we matched it up with the bottom shirt. So we learned a couple things. You got a couple years in the league,
It's just so great to see what you're done already with your professional playing career and the road ahead. Aiden Hutchinson here on the Rich Eisen Show. And so is it similar? Because I was having fun with you in our Roku only segment, nicknaming you the culture changer. But, and I know a lot of people describe Jim Harbaugh's arrival in Michigan as a culture changing moment. But
you and your year that you had, your final year there, yep, and your years before it, I'm sure, was when things really did change. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if you're seeing a similarity with the Lions. Obviously, you weren't there before. You only know what your time is with the Lions. But are you? Is it a similar feeling?
It is very similar. You know, I mean, after that 2020 year, and it was like Harbaugh's on the fence of getting fired, and it's like it was like the dark days at Michigan, as I call it. And then it just took a lot of work, man, from myself and the leaders and all the guys buying into it to just rally everyone back and get back to that winning ways. And now it's like we all look back at that and we're good. And then we get to the Lions and it's a similar situation, but it's with the Lions, it's years of turmoil. You know, it's not just,
you grew up with it,
right? Right.
I mean, new to that.
No doubt. It was so much more. It was the foundation was, you know, messed up for so many years in the Lions. And then I feel like when Dan and Brad came in, like these guys who just you know, drafting the right people. Dan's just has such a great culture and what he talks about in our team meetings. So, you know, I just go into places and I be myself, you know, and I think that does have a positive effect, but you know, I can't take credit. I feel like I'm just a piece of the puzzle, and that's all I try to be.
That said, though, before you get to the Lions, just a little bit on the Michigan, and I hope I'm not putting you on the spot, but I did hear, and I'm wondering if it is true. I heard that in that COVID year, just afterwards, prior to 2021, that you went into Harbaugh's office and basically said, essentially, and maybe I'm wrong or not, but hey. Not only are you a little, you got to let the pedal off the gas a little bit, but put it on us.
Right.
Put on the players. Let us kind of help run things here a little bit. Listen to us a little bit more. Is that accurate?
I never really went into his office, you know, but I feel like it was, I just kind of took the accountability all on me. I knew, you know, it's like when you're a senior and you're playing at a high level in college, it's like you're the guy and you know, everyone's going to depend on you. You got to be a leader. You got to be a voice. And so I never went into his office. And I think me and Coach Harbaugh, we just had a really good unspoken relationship, I feel like, because he was more with the offense, but we had this respect that he kind of knew I was with the defense and I'm gonna lock the defense down. He does the offense. And it was like our dynamic that we had was really healthy.
But I heard you did say something's got to change here and let me kind of...
I never did say that.
Okay, you did not.
No.
So that's untrue.
Untrue.
All right. I'm glad I cleared that up.
Maybe I should have told you
that's
true.
I'm glad that you're honest about it. But again, your legend just grows, man.
It sounds more mystical. No,
the fish that we caught has now turned into some monster shark. It's like a great story. And then now here in Detroit, Dan Campbell told me he had a man crush on you at the combine. That's what he told me. Did you sense that from him when you came through?
No.
Not at all, huh?
You know, when you go as a rookie, it's, you know, you got to go and prove yourself. And that's how it was. And I feel like over these past few years, I've gained my respect from him. And I feel like that's what everyone's got to do when you're, you know, I had a lot of hype too, just playing at Michigan and being the hometown kid. It's like you got to match these expectations, essentially. And he kind of knew that. And I think he, you know, he always was the standard was always up here for me. And,
right.
And that's what I love about him is he holds me to it. And our relationship has grown a lot. And we have great relationship. I love having him as my coach. And I think he's the guy that we need at the helm to win a championship.
What's your favorite Dan Campbell story that you're willing to share?
Don't ask me that.
No, I have to.
Dude, people have been asking me that and I fail.
Because we want Dan Campbell stories.
I know.
We can't get enough Dan Campbell stories. Can't get enough.
With Dan, it's every day. It's hard to pinpoint one thing that was so crazy. It was, it's every day walking in that team meeting. You're either going to be laughing or it's going to be tense or it's going to hit you emotionally in some way, you know? And, that's what I love most about it. I mean, when we lost against San Fran and coming in that next day for exit meetings and, you know, when you lose in the playoffs in the NFL, it's like, boom, boom, you're out. Uh-huh. And the way he was talking to us and he was like, man, we're winning the championship next year, blah, blah, blah. Like I can speak to everybody in the room that, we all just wanted to strap it up and keep playing, you know, even though we're 24 weeks into the season. So I feel like he's got that power to where he can just talk and dude, it's his words are just very influencing and powerful, and mm-hmm. it just makes you want to follow him. And like I said, like how he was talking after the San Fran game, it makes us all hungrier. The way you know, how much passion that he has,
just seeing it and yeah. feeling it. And, yeah. and
well, I'm sorry, I couldn't deliver with any crazy story. Aiden,
you don't disappoint.
Okay,
let me just say this way: you'll never disappoint, like literally ever. All right, so we're totally cool on that. But you know, obviously, his decision making, fourth down decisions, we're going for it, we're not kicking.
Right.
From us, our perspective, in the media, we're wondering if it's deflating to the locker room, and you are saying the otherwise.
You know, I'm saying with the decisions made in that game, I think the decisions those are the decisions that he made all year long. You know, it won us a lot of games too, and everyone's always happy when you win it on a ballsy call or a ballsy decision.
Right.
And you know, so if you live by the sword, you got to die by it too. And I don't think anybody in our locker room, you know, you can look back and you can question things, but you know, hindsight is always 20/20, and everyone, you know, everyone on that team, every coach, every player is doing everything in their power in that moment to win the game. And sometimes you come up short, and that's this game of football and life.
You were know? You gone by the time Terrion Arnold was drafted last night?
Yeah,
were you
yeah,
you were out of the draft hall?
Yeah, right when we walked off the stage, I ran home and got in bed because I'm pretty exhausted.
I bet you. I bet.
Doing all this draft stuff.
So. I just want to play you the reaction because we were, you know, obviously I was on the air, and our set was on the back end of the draft hall, for the lack of a better phrase, a 250,000 people.
Wow.
And suddenly a bunch of people started running towards the stage. And I looked up on the screen and I saw Detroit had traded up. Yeah, and I'm like, now I understand why they're running towards the stage. And this was the reaction when the pick hit last night. Bedlam.
Wow.
Just pure bedlam.
Oh, my God. It's so amazing. It's so amazing.
So you had not seen that before? You had not
heard
that?
See the reaction. I stayed up because I was going to stay up for the 29th pick, and then I'm like getting ready to turn the TV off, and then I see they traded up. And so I'm like, oh, God, let's go. But I didn't see the reaction, but that's gold.
And then he came out, and then he's just
and he was soaking
electric.
It up, too. He grabbed the mic. He was like, Detroit, let's get it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, and then he goes.
He's going to fit in right here.
I figured that, you know, right? That how I sensed that, too. That was my first thought.
I know. It's what you need. It's that a good personality. He's a great player, and I can already tell. You know, I never met him before, but I feel like he's going to fit in real good with the boys.
Right. Certainly. Now, you know, as many Alabama guys come in.
Oh my God.
You're fine with that because, you know,
yeah,
we can talk now, right? We can talk
after this year. We can talk, and life is good.
Hey,
now.
Look. Every single last night, we're here on the NFL Network set. The ABC set was right to my left. Yeah. So every time I looked this way, I saw Nick Saban. Every single time I saw him, I'm like, oh, we retired him in the Rose Bowl. It's phenomenal. Like, literally, I'm living my best
That's amazing.
Life right now. Living my best life right now.
Yeah, you got to hold on to it as long as you can, you know?
Oh, just gosh. The number of people last night, I would turn around from the set, and it's Michigan fans going just absolutely nuts. And invariably, there'd be some very sad-looking Spartan or Ohio State Buckeye fan next to them. And I would just be like,
oh, it's
shrug
amazing.
Emoji. It's the greatest, man.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And we just got to soak it up this year. You know, I'm just going to soak it up.
Now, that said, what happens twice a year now? J.J. McCarthy's under center wearing purple, and you're there on the other side of the line of scrimmage. What happens now, Aiden Hutchinson?
Unfortunately, business is business, you know, and I have to do my job, and my job is to give hugs on Sundays, you know, give squeeze,
violent
tight
hugs,
violent to the ground. Well, you know, not too much weight. Don't want to get a penalty.
Understood.
Yes, yes, Roger. No fines, okay. And yeah, that's going to be interesting. But I'm really hoping that he succeeds, not against us, but he has his own personal success.
Yes.
And it's going to be fun though.
Well, you hit him about 60%.
It's going to be weird.
60%.
You'll hit him, not a full 100 or.
Got to go full 100.
Unfortunately, it's.
He's getting the full.
Well, you don't want to get flagged either.
He's getting. You know, it's not going to be. You don't want to hurt him or anything. Keep him around.
Right.
However, exactly. You know, maybe he'll give me a couple free ones. I'll text him a little bit, see if we can negotiate something.
Tell me about the Rocket Mortgage DreamMate campaign.
So yeah, well, we teamed up with Rocket Mortgage, the official mortgage partner of the NFL Draft, mm-hmm. and they are doing a DreamMate campaign. Essentially, this DreamMate campaign is all about celebrating your support systems and, you know, what they've done to help you achieve your goals. So, you know, my DreamMates are my family. All my family members have been so instrumental in my whole upbringing and my whole career, and they've been with me every step of the way through all the adversity, through the good and the bad, and that's why they're my DreamMates.
Okay, fantastic. And part of this campaign, encouraging fans to share their personal DreamMate stories on social media using the hashtag of RocketDreamMate. And I understand what it's like to have the Hutchinson family in my life, since your dad was playing when I was in school.
That's right.
And now there's you. And so I kind of feel like I've been part of the family.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You are a part of the family, Rich.
I will take that.
You're an honorary DreamMate.
Hashtag that, baby.
I mean, that's a good one, man.
Oh, no. I remember when your dad played and I was there on campus.
I know. It's so crazy, man.
Bo's final game. I was there. I was telling my kids that when we were at the Rose Bowl. I'm like, you see that press box? I was there.
Is that weird?
For Bo Schembechler's
final game. Is that like really like crazy?
Let me tell you something. I am one of those types that tries my best to live in the moment. Like, seriously.
Just to
realize the fortune, the good luck.
Right.
And to be in that Rose Bowl on January 1st, 2024, with my family, with my wife, my nephew.
Oh, my God.
And watching that game and just thinking to myself, you know, and that New Year's Day of 1990, being in that press box for the Michigan Daily,
man,
and covering Bo's last game when he spent an entire lifetime of building up a tendency and breaking it by calling for a fake punt against USC and then having the refs blow the call and take it away, calling a holding penalty, a flagrant foul it was not.
Complaining,
let me tell you,
about Big Ten officials, attrition.
Oh, my God. I'm seriously, I've been complaining of Big Ten officials almost as long as the Hutchinsons have been in my life. So, I'm kind of gushing now, but it's the truth. Just, I lived in that moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would have dreamt, like, could I be here with my family, with the children, my wife, years later, and then watching Michigan win it all.
Oh, my God.
Potentially, that was incredible.
Full circle.
I know. So you were watching that here, I imagine, in town, right?
Yeah. Yeah, watching it and just, man, it was like, it even felt like my year of the 2021, it was like the foundation, you know? Those guys, you know, carried it and kept leveling up. And just to see it was like, even a lot of my former teammates being on that team, winning, getting a ring, it's like, couldn't be more proud.
You're going to hear many of their names tonight, too. That's for sure.
I know.
And then tomorrow.
I'm hoping so, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Listen, congrats on everything going on with you. You're one of my favorites. Anytime I can do anything to help out for anything that you're up to, or you always have a space on this show as well if you want to promote anything, or just come on and chill.
Thanks,
for
Rich.
Real.
It was good talking
Appreciate
to you,
it.
Man.
And it's just, I'm down the street, there's a huge-ass mural of you on the wall.
I'm about to stare at it for like 30 minutes.
You should. It's amazing. Aiden Hutchinson, at AidenHutch97, both on Twitter and Instagram. Everybody check out the Rocket Mortgage DreamMate campaign wherever you can. Sharon Moore of Michigan is coming up in hour number 3. Go Blue, everybody.
All good?
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. We're here in Detroit. I just threw Mike Del Tufo under the bus in the final Roku segment of this hour.
Yeah, why not?
So that was what a burst of activity we just had. Four straight guests in a row.
That was awesome.
Ian Rappaport. Then we had Dan Orlovsky. Then Joel Klatt. We just said goodbye to Aiden Hutchinson. What a good dude. He is such a large human being.
Yes,
he
is.
Yeah. You imagine getting hit by him with pads and helmet?
Not even at 60%.
With the eye black on and he's angry?
Nope.
He's got a head of steam?
Like I was telling Chris, good I'm Lord. Like, I'm not like a small dude. And that guy
you are not.
Get a hug and he just...
Powers over you.
Wrap me up. I'm like, all right.
Feel bad for J.J. McCarthy. He's going to get...
Well, wait till... Sharon Moore comes in here, my head coach of Michigan. He's going to enter your... pantheon of guests who are taller than you think.
Yes.
Dan Orlovsky's in that pantheon
as well.
Well,
I knew that he was tall, but like his legs are so long, his waist starts way up here.
Right.
He's and all so, late, yeah.
And for a man who eats poorly, he looks very fit.
Very fit. Lean.
I don't think he eats anything.
So, lots to talk about. We've been focusing quite a bit on Michael Penix Jr. and his choice 8th overall by the Falcons, but let's broaden out our horizons a little bit here on the show. It's time for Draft Day Reactions presented by Total by Verizon right here on the show. And we were all expecting quarterbacks to go, right?
Yes.
And so the quarterbacks that we saw go were right at the top, 3 in a row. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, is it possible we get 4 in a row? And then the Cardinals hop on the clock, and then they made their pick within like 4 minutes. They made it faster than anybody.
Yeah, pick was in fast.
Patriots went fast, too.
Patriots went fast, too, also.
So clearly the drafts trade, the big draft trades that we thought could happen at 3 and 4, either were just not going to happen, or it wasn't anything remotely close to the Godfather offer that teams needed to hear to get off the clock, and or they just love the guys that they wanted.
It feels like the price has gone up too on some of these picks to move up and take a guy you think could change your franchise. The price is high now, and it just seems like teams don't want to pay that. So we saw a lot of stick and stay.
And you're lucky that the Patriots are lucky to be 3rd overall in quarterback needing and having a guy available who could be technically 1 overall in any other draft
class. Well, the funny thing, TJ and I were talking about this, for a year and a half, it's been Caleb and Drake. Like, you got to be one of the first two picks to get one of these two guys. And then Jaden Daniels has such a breakout season, wins the Heisman Trophy, dominant. And now we got a guy who is 1-1A for a year and a half.
Right.
Fall to us at 3, I mean, had to do it. Let's just hope they have the discipline to kind of sit him for a little while. Like Dan said, like, if he doesn't play till December, great.
I think that will happen. Because even if Brissett gets hurt, there's Bailey Zappe right there. And I think Patriot fans will be patient enough to understand.
I really hope so.
But, I mean, what's the point? You want to get him out there too early so you could go 4-8 instead of, three and nine? Like, seriously.
And look, if Jacoby ends up playing the whole year and there's 5-12, 6-11, great. You're in a top 10 position for next year anyway.
Throw him out there week 16, week 17
exactly.
To wet his beak a little
bit.
That's totally understand.
I really hope the front office, coaching staff, fans are patient enough.
We on the Rich Eisen Show will help in that process because that's the table that I'll be pounding all year long.
Same here.
Since all you hear is that Drake May has this issue with his lower half and
it's footwork. And, I heard some of Belichick's comments yesterday. It's decision making and not jumping off the first read too quickly. That only takes time and practice.
It does take, which he's not going to get in the regular season. He's just not going to get it.
Yeah.
So it's wild that we went quarterback. So 100% of the draft choices starting the draft were quarterbacks. Then Marvin Harrison gets chosen. It goes down to 75%. The only time in the first hour and a half of the draft that the hit rate of draft choices to quarterbacks dropped below 50% was pick 7. Pick 7 when the Tennessee Titans chose J.C. Latham because the Giants didn't take a quarterback at 6 and Joe Alt went to the Chargers at 5. And that kind of surprised me, to be straight up with you, because Joe Alt is a left tackle and Deshaun Slater is sitting there at left tackle.
All pro player.
And they're not moving him. So Joe Alt's going to have to just relearn the position at right tackle.
Yeah.
And And we'll, you know, obviously Harbaugh's an expert at figuring stuff out offensive line. And then we went back up to a 50% hit rate for quarterback choices at Michael Penix Jr. Four out of the first eight draft choices were quarterbacks. That was a first. We've never seen that before. And it kicked off a total first of first nights, record nights at the draft. And we've got them up on the screen right here. Four of the eight picks to start the draft were quarterbacks. Never happened before. We've never seen five quarterbacks in the top 10, which is what happened when the Vikings traded with the Jets to go get J.J. McCarthy at 10. When Bo Nix went 12 to the Broncos, we had never seen six quarterbacks in the top 12. That was the first time we had ever seen that. And by the way, we've never seen the first 10 players go on offense to start a draft. That was a first last night. And when 14 straight players on offense
that
started the NFL draft. This stat blew my mind. I heard this from Jack Andrade of NFL Network Research last night. The 14 straight offensive players to start the draft. It was the longest streak on either side of the ball at any point in any draft in the common draft era. We've never seen 14 straight players of offense or defense. Forget about the start of draft. Forget about in the first round. At any point in any draft, that's never happened before. In the middle of the fifth round, or from the fourth to the fifth round, or from the sixth to the seventh round. And this is also back in the common draft era. You know, it hasn't always been seven rounds. It used to be eighth round, ninth round.
Oh, 10, 12, yeah, so many rounds.
23 players when Xavier Leggett got drafted by the Panthers.
Oh,
to end
I was
the
so
night.
Happy.
That was 23 offensive players in the first round. The previous record of the number of offensive players in the first round is nine. Think about it.
Wow.
For 23 offensive players. Eight offensive tackles ties the record from 08. Seven wide receivers ties the record from 04. Six quarterbacks ties the record. By the way, it's not nine. It's 19 is the previous record. We have a graphical error. But 19 and six quarterbacks ties the record from 1983, the famous 83 draft that included Elway and Marino, and the Jets took neither.
Can this class be like that class?
You said the Jets took neither.
That's the record-setting night that we saw last night on the offensive side of the ball. And that was Draft Day Reactions presented by Total by Verizon. The draft is all about getting a contract. But when it comes to your wireless plan, take advantage of no long-term contracts with Total by Verizon. It's the power of Verizon. Price to win. Find your local Total by Verizon store or switch at TotalByVerizon.com today. Hour number three coming up right here on our Total by Verizon set in downtown Detroit. Sherrone Moore, the head coach of the University of Michigan football program, is making his way to Detroit, by the way, with much of the team because they're throwing out the first pitch at the Tigers-Royals game around the corner.
Today just keeps getting better for you.
It sure does. It sure does. And then we'll see the number of Michigan Wolverines drafted tonight. Yep. Should be a large amount right there. Yep. And then I've got my top five first-round steals coming up.
Oh.
And then we'll wrap up the show right here on the Roku channel. Don't you dare move. We're back with the radio audience in a couple minutes for hour three. But we're still here on the Roku channel.
Michael Penix on
Tyler Guyton on that Steelers?
Who?
You know, the Cowboys pick? I knew we were going line. I didn't get a Mary Smith, but I wanted a line.
What's the reaction on the trade down? Because, you know, the Patriots were in this situation for so many years, and Hoskins felt this too with the Bills trading out. It's like, oh, your team's on the clock, and there's a trade. Oh, we're not picking.
You get kind of high, right? You're anticipating this because it's been months and months and months. And then you're like, okay, and then you get the.
I hope they like Tyler Guyton as much as they like Graham Barton, the center from Duke, who they could have really used and passed on because they traded out.
He got taken right after you could have picked him. But
I know you didn't want Xavier Worthy. You were down on any mocks that had him going to the Dallas Cowboys.
I just didn't feel like that was our biggest area of need. I just knew that line needed to be solidified.
Well, they did it.
I was happy, and the kid was in Austin. I think he's from there. He was.
is very excited to be a Cowboy.
And they're good. They have a good track record of drafting guys named Tyler out of the state of Oklahoma. And also, Smith from Tulsa.
Also,
and
with we drafted some great linemen. You know, you got Smith, Frederick. Frederick wouldn't have gotten sick.
I think
one
more hour to update our tote board. Did we update our tote board? Did we update our Dallas Cowboys tote board?
Cannot wait.
No, we'll do that for hour three. We got to do that going out the door.
Now we're at seven.
Now you're at seven. Congratulations.
Good job.
Wait, didn't we have seven yesterday? Somebody mentioned.
No, seven.
No. On our way to championship.
Hour number three coming up right here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku channel. Our final hour from the draft city of Detroit.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.